Who's excited? Amen. I am. Shouldn't we be excited about Jesus every day?
Amen.
Every day.
Thank you, Lord.
And that's it. That's the secret. No matter how you feel, you get excited about Jesus because it's not according to feelings. It's what he's done. It's all about him. Everything is about him.
Amen.
And what we're going to look at today, we're going to look at our hearts and examine our hearts and how we feel and how we react to certain circumstances in our life. Because that's really very important.
Yes, it is.
It is. Are we going to let the circumstances of our life determine our victory? Or are we going to let what Jesus has done determine our victory? Because he is our victory.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Holy Spirit, we give you this class, Lord. We give you this class this morning. It's all about you. All about everything that you have done for us. It's about knowing you and knowing the truth. And the truth of who we are in you. No matter what comes our way, we are victorious. So in Jesus' name, Lord, settle upon this room and Holy Spirit, minister to every heart, every mind. Every emotional state must come underneath the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. Right now, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for this class. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, what we're going to look at today, we're going to look at two different women in the Bible that had a very similar circumstance take place in their life, but we're going to see how each one of them handled it. One of them had a little bit of a difficult time. The other one, even though it was the same circumstance, she proclaimed her victory. And so we're going to look at that, and we're going to see where we position ourselves in this. The title of this is called Position for a Miracle. Because every one of us should be in position to receive a miracle from God. So we're going to start in 1 Kings. And we're going to go to chapter 17. And in 1 Kings chapter 17, you see about Elijah. And Elijah was the prophet of the Lord during the time of King Ahab and Jezebel. And Ahab was a very wicked king of Israel. And he married a woman, Jezebel, who was even more wicked than he was. She came from an idol-worshipping area. Her father was actually a king he was called the king of the Zidonians, a very idol-worshipping area and people. And Ahab made an alliance with them and married Jezebel and subsequently brought idol worship into Israel. And here comes Elijah. You don't hear much about him until he comes on the scene. It's like he's there and then he's gone. But Elijah comes in. And Elijah, of course, proclaimed, just a little history, proclaimed, you know, for 3.5 years there'll be no rain, so there's going to be this famine. But God's going to take care of Elijah, so he sends him, of course, to the brook. And these ravens come and feed him, which is a miracle in itself because ravens are they're ravenous birds. They're scavengers. They don't share anything. You know, what's mine is mine. But God commanded these ravens to feed him. And then soon, Elijah is sent somewhere else. And we're going to look at that. We're going to go to chapter 17, verse 8. And we're going to look at this woman in the city of Zarephath. In verse 8, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, which happens to be the very area where Jezebel's father is the ruler of." So he's sending him. See, God can provide for you no matter where you are.
Yeah.
Like, why would God send Elijah to a place? Of course, the famine is everywhere. But this is an idol-worshipping town. But God's sending Elijah right there. So don't think if he asks you to go somewhere, oh, I can't go there. Those people are wicked. Yeah, you can if God sends you. Mm-hmm. Don't just go, but are you sent? Yeah. Okay? Mm-hmm. So arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So God has already got, he's went before Elijah, he's paved the way for him. He's in there, he's taking care of Elijah through a widow. She's a widow, she's about to die, the famine is just raging. She's about to die, but Elijah, of course, we know, asked something of her first. Bake me a little cake, give me some water. And she's obedient to do this, which is just kind of baffles my mind. But she's obedient. God has already moved on Elijah's behalf. And so we know that there's the miracle. She gets this wonderful miracle of, through this whole famine, she never runs out of food. I think it just kept multiplying. Every time she takes some out, it would fill back up again. Every time she used some of that oil, it would fill back up again. I don't know how it happened. I'm just imagining here. But she never ran out of food. So she's seen a great miracle. It's impossible, but she's seen this great miracle. So what we want to do now is go down a little bit farther and look at her life. Just a little bit farther. So down in verse 17. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. And his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. He dies. Her son dies. So she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" Now we got to look at this. A better rendering instead of, "What have I come to do with you, O man of God?" A better way to put that would be, "What do you have against me? What did I do to you to cause this to happen to me?" Now, here's where we got to really start looking at our hearts, because what do we do sometimes? When something, we've seen great miracles, we're serving the Lord. See, she's opened her heart up, or she's opened her house up to the prophet of the Lord. He carries the word of God. I'm looking at our hearts and how we have opened ourselves up to Jesus, and we have said we have invited him to live in our house. The house, the temple of our heart, we've invited him in. We've seen the miraculous take place. Salvation itself is a miracle. But we've seen the miraculous take place, but all of a sudden, a circumstance happened, and what do? If we compare ourselves with her, are we the type, and here's where we all have to think about this, and I want your thoughts on this, okay? Do we all of a sudden start condemning ourselves? I must have done something for this bad to take place in my life. Did I sin? Did I commit an evil? Is God angry with me? And we start examining ourselves, and all these thoughts start coming. Instead of looking at the word of God is living in my house. I have this prophet of the Lord in her case. But we can say Jesus lives in my heart. And instead of saying, "You provided over here, provide here too," all of a sudden we start this condemnation. I've lived that. I know what that is. I used to live that way. I must have sinned. I must have failed God. Something bad has happened. My victory is gone. Now, that's all a lie. We know that. But sometimes this is what happens in our hearts, and this is where we have to really stop. And when we see these things begin to happen, don't condemn yourself. Don't think that you failed God. It's him that brings the victory anyways, not you. It's the word of the Lord that caused that barrel of meal and that cruse of oil to never run dry. It wasn't the woman. It wasn't her responsibility. It was the word of the Lord. It's not our responsibility. It's the word of the Lord that is within us. It's just our responsibility to take the authority that we know is there that has been given to us. So we need to look at our hearts when things begin to happen like this. I want to go a little bit farther in this because a lot of times people are saying, I guess I'm being punished. I've heard this. I've heard this many times. I guess I'm just being punished for something. Or I don't have enough faith to believe. So all of these things, we need to just stop and think about this. Let's go a little bit farther. And he said to her, give me your son. Will you give me this loss in your life? Will you hand it over to me? Give me your son. Now, when it comes to healing, because that's what this is about. This is healing class. When we've got things happening in our body that we don't understand, have we really surrendered it to the Lord? Have we really handed it over? Or are we punishing ourselves thinking, we must have done something. I must deserve this. Or just the questions of, I don't understand why, and then all of a sudden we've closed ourselves off. Is there anybody that can identify with that? I know I can, because I've done it.
Big time.
I have done this many times in the past. I discipline myself now not to allow my mind to go there. Because Jesus says, in this world you'll have tribulations, but...
Yes.
Don't forget the buts.
Uh-huh.
That's joining this over here to this. You're not left over here. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. There's a but that joins the victory to that. I've overcome the world, he says. So be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So let's keep going. So he takes this child, lays him on his own bed in his own room where he is at rest. This is the place where he rests. Can we take and put all of this loss in the rest of God? That's where it needs to go. We put it in his rest that he has provided for us.
Praise God.
Okay? But he had to say, give him to me. She wasn't willing in the beginning. She was accusing him and accusing herself, but he had to say, give this to me. Let me have it. So he carries him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. And then he began to pray and he began to intercede for this child. And we know what happened. In verse 22, the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. The soul of the child came back to him and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house, gave him to his mother, and Elijah said, see, your son lives. Another miracle for this woman, but it's all the same word of God. You can't distinguish, well, this is too hard. This was easy over here. You know what's amazing? Zarephath, going to the city of Zarephath, you know what that means? It means refinery. This place where she's living, where he has went to, is a place of refinement. What happens in a refinery? Who can tell me what happens in a refinery? Think of the refiner's fire. Things are being burnt off. The heat's turned up, but things are being burnt off. Fire is a cleansing for the body of Christ, for us. Fire, really, it represents not only cleansing, but the fiery love of God. We're going through a refining. So sometimes we find ourselves in Zarephath, and we find ourselves, wow, I've had such great victory, but now all of a sudden this has happened, and I can't seem to find the victory. It's there. It's never left. You just have to not look at yourself, at your own circumstance, at your own abilities. Always look where the prophet or the word of God, I should say, where the word of God is resting in the area of your heart. Is he at rest in your heart? Have you been able to surrender?
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And so this is This is the one circumstance with this woman. She's having a difficult time because she's had a great loss. There's been a death. But we're going to look at two and compare this with another woman, but we're also going to compare how Elijah really, you can see Jesus, you can see the cross in all of this. He takes that child up. Jesus bore up on that cross all of our loss, all of our sin. He bore death for us. The same where he carried him up is the same word in Isaiah 53 where he carried all of our griefs and sorrows. He carried all of that. He bore all of that for us, and he took it up into that upper room, if you will, but to that cross. He took it to his cross, and then the victory was won, and it says, and he brought back down and gave to her life. And that's exactly what Jesus has done for us. He's taken our sin, our death, our loss, whatever it is in our life that is it an accusing spirit, a lying spirit, a fear, a doubt, a way we've always lived? Jesus bore every bit of it. So when there's sickness in our life, we can't stop and say, I must deserve this, or I don't have enough faith to believe. It's not your faith, it's his faith. Mm-hmm. It's not what you can do, it's what he has done. Amen. Okay? Amen. Amen. Let's look at another one. We want to compare these two situations, these two scenarios, because they are so similar. 2 Kings. We're going to go to 2 Kings. We're going to go to chapter 4, and I bet you know where I'm going, don't you? No. Now we're going to look at Elisha, the one anointed in Elijah's stead. Elisha. And we're going to start, I believe, in verse 8, because Elisha, he's the prophet of God, and the prophets of God at that time, they made a circuit where they would go from town to town, and they would check things and see how people are doing, and you know, what's the atmosphere, what's the mindset, how's the well-being of Israel. And so he would make these circuits. Well, he's going to Shunem. Shunem is a town in Israel. And what's amazing, Zarephath, huh?
I thought you said he's going to shoot him.
Shoot him. He's going to shoot him.
Shoot him with the Holy Ghost.
There you go.
Amen.
Shunem. S-H-U-N with an N. Shunem. Like Zarephath meant refinery. Things can get hot and hard there. There was a famine there, and it's like, Lord, where are you? Well, in Shunem, Shunem means double blessing. Oh, we've grown. Okay, we're seeing progress in our spiritual life here. Shunem means double blessing. So he goes, Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman. She was a very important woman, a very great woman. The King James calls her a great woman. She's very important. She was probably very rich. And she's a married woman. Unlike the other woman who was a widow, this woman is a married woman, but she has no child. But she has a lot of spiritual perception. She has an understanding and an enlightenment within herself of the things of God. She sees this prophet of God in verse 8. Now, it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. Do you have fruit in your life that you can share, that you can give? Are you hospitable? Are you open to say, Lord, come in. I want to bless you. We bless him with our praise, with our adoration, with our thanksgiving, with making room for him and opening up to him. And she said to her husband in verse 9, now look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. She's perceptive, okay? She has spiritual insight. Please, let us make a small upper room on the wall. Let us put a bed for him there, a resting place. a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. And this is what would happen when Elijah would go on his circuit. He would stop into this woman's house, this place where they had prepared, her and her husband, and he would rest there. Again, we're looking at our hearts. We've opened up our heart and we've made room for him. Rest right here, Lord. Rest in my heart. We've prepared a chair for him, which really means a throne, being throned on my heart. We've put in there a desk and a lamp. He enlightens us by our learning and our studying. Isn't this, the Word of God is awesome. You know, awesome. We read these things as stories, and they are stories, but they're examples for us to learn by. Mary.
This is just amazing. It just keeps coming up in me. When you were saying that, because I never thought of this, the prophets would travel around to check.
Yeah.
It's like the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
He's going around and checking. And where in James it says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And it was like when there was a lack, or there was a need, or she was having a problem receiving, he was right there to help.
Right there.
And it's like the Holy Ghost is right there to help us.
I know. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
We are not alone.
Awesome.
We are not alone. In the things that take place in our bodies, God knows he dwells there.
Awesome.
He dwells there. But he wants us to enthrone him upon every circumstance in our life and to allow his rest. We can enter into his rest, which we're going to see is exactly what this next woman did. She enters into his rest. She doesn't fall into accusation and self-doubt and self-pity and I'm being punished. She enters into his rest, which is what we're going to see here in just a minute. So Elisha, because of her hospitality opening up to him, he blesses her. She's missing something in her life. She has no child. And her husband is old. It says her husband's old. But she receives this blessing of a child, especially from Elisha, because she has made room for him in her heart. So he is giving her something special that's going to fulfill her life. If her husband's old, he may die. But she's going to have this child that's going to take care of her, that's going to be a joy for her. But something happens. If we look up in verse 17... let's go to 18. And the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father to the reapers, and he said to his father, "My head, my head." A lot of the commentaries think that it was like a heat stroke that took place in this child's life. So he said to his servant, "Carry him to his mother." When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. In her arms, she loses this blessing right as she's holding on to this, but it's apparently died, it's gone. But what does she do? She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God in the resting place. In the dwelling place, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High God, right? He that abides in that place, we dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. We have an abiding place, a secret place, a resting place in our heart, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's because we've made room for him in our heart, and he is our rest. So she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him. Okay, you're there. I'm leaving you there, right?
Yeah.
You put your loss there and you leave it there. You don't take it and moan and bemoan and cry and wail and get into self-pity and doubt. You leave it there. Leave him there in the resting place. She shut the door upon him and went out. Now what she did, she called her husband and says, "I'm going to see the prophet." She never said anything to her husband that the child is dead. You notice that? She never confessed. any loss. She says, I'm going to see the prophet. Now, this is what is so cool. I've talked about this before. Verse 23. She's going to see the prophet of God, and he's asking her, well, why are you going? You know, it's not a special time. She says, it is well. The first time I ever read that, I'm thinking, are you kidding me? I mean, that's how I was feeling. Are you really kidding me? It is well. You know what it is well means in the Hebrew? Shalom. It's peace is what it means. I'm in peace. Where are you going? Why are you going? Don't worry. It's all peaceful. I'm walking in peace. I'm living in peace. She never lost her peace. She never lost her well-being. It's the same word that Joseph used when he met his brothers and they didn't know that he was Joseph. And they told him about their father. And he says, tell me about the old man you told me about. Is it well with him? How is his peace? Is he in peace? We don't understand what shalom means. We don't understand what peace really means in that Eastern mindset. It's complete well-being. It's complete wholeness. Because your trust is in God. Your trust is not in yourself. When you're saying, I am in peace, you're saying, my trust is in God. That's why Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. That's temporary. But my peace I give to you, which is eternally. It's eternity. It's eternal life that he gives us. We look to him. We don't look to our circumstances or to us or what we can do in any situation. Some of us, that we might want to boast. And I'm not saying anybody in general or, you know, in particular, but all of us in general. Don't worry, I got this. You know, now if we can really stand on the word of God and say, because I know every one of us have done this, we see something that is just crazy taking place. There's a storm brewing, but we're peaceful because we know God has it. It's supernatural. Something happens. Yeah. He swoops down and he just lifts us up above that storm and we're just in peace. See, that's the peace this woman has right now. It's beyond anything that we can understand. But she never loses it because she's the one that made this room. She's the one that received the blessing of God to have this child. This child has been stolen by an enemy. There was a thief that came into her house, into her household, stole her heritage. But she said, uh-uh, no way, devil. We have to do this in our life. When we see something, I don't care what it is, it might be a physical issue. It might be a child issue. It might be a family issue. We stand and we say, no way, the enemy will not steal the blessing that God has given to me. He's given us the authority to take authority over him and to protect what he has given to us. This word is full of protection for us. It's full of the authority of God for us. But sometimes we have to have our minds renewed to what it really says. And then we can receive exactly what God has given to us and walk in his perfect will. So we're going to keep going because we got to keep going on this. So she tells her husband, it is well. Shalom, I'm good. And she tells her servant, start the car, keep driving. Don't stop for lunch. We're going straight there, okay? We're going to see the prophet of the Lord. You got to have determination. Don't let anything get in your way. Don't let any of these other things, these other obstacles, don't let them stop you. Okay? Keep going. So she gets to Mount Carmel. This is where Elisha is. And he sees her. And in verse 26, please, he tells his servant, okay? Let's look at this servant of his as Holy Spirit. Like Mary had talked about, there's this circuit where God is looking at us and the Holy Spirit is ministering to us. So Elisha, this man of God, tells his servant, go and see how it is with her. he says, say to her, is it well with you? How is your peace? This is the same thing. How is your peace? How is the peace with your husband? How is the peace of your child? Your whole household? Mm-hmm. This is just awesome. Mm-hmm. How is your peace? And she answered, my peace is good. I'm okay. She's lost her child. She's standing before the prophet of God because of that situation, but she's not looking at the circumstance. She's looking at where the blessing came from in the first place, which is what we have to do. We have to look at who is built up within us. Salvation, we never lose that. We never lose our peace that comes through the salvation that Jesus has given to us. We never lose it.
Amen.
Is there a storm brewing in your life? God has never left you. You have a way to get a hold of him. But we have to examine our hearts. How do we feel about this? Are we identifying over here with this woman that is saying, I must be punished. I'm being punished for something. I've lost something over here. I must have done something wrong. Or are we identifying with this Shunammite woman who is saying, you gave this to me? An enemy came to steal it. I'm coming right back to you. I put it in the resting place. I put my loss right there in the rest of God, and I am not letting it go. I've shut the door on it. I'm not going to go bury it. I'm not burying it. It's not gone. Okay? Don't ever bury anything.
That's good.
God is your source. God is your source. So let's keep going. We got to get through this. Ah, amen. Where are we, Lord? So she gets a hold of this prophet of God, doesn't she? She runs up to him. In verse 27, when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. But the servant, Gehazi, came near to push her away. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me. He has not told me. So she said, did I ask a son of my Lord? You blessed me with something. And now he's beginning to see. Sometimes we have to just bare your heart. Let it all out. Bare your heart. You know, you don't have to be strong and like, oh, I'm, yeah, she's got her peace. She's holding on to it. But yet she's praying this thing out. She's confessing this thing. And that's how we have to do this. It's okay to say, Lord, I'm having a little bit of a bad day, but I know who I'm built up in. I know who's built up in me. So help me in this situation, Lord. So he tells Gehazi, of course, get ready, go run, put the staff on the child, his own authority, put the staff on the child. But she says, oh no, you're coming. hold on. Don't let go. Don't get deterred in your prayer. Don't get deterred in your determination. The Lord gave me this little phrase years ago when I was in prayer one time. Don't be deterred, be determined. We got to do that. We can't get swayed and go in another direction. When we're looking at something that we're facing, don't lose your focus. Don't lose your focus. That's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. Don't lose your focus. So he goes, Elijah goes, and when he came into the house in verse 32, there was the child lying dead on his bed, his own place of rest. He went in and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, his hands on his hands, and he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. There's a resurrection taking place. Now you notice this didn't happen immediately. When she put this child there, it wasn't immediate, but she still did not get deterred. She still had to go and do some things. She never lost her focus. Sometimes we want things instantly. I'm going to put this right here, Lord, because I know the strength that you have. I know healing is mine. I know it's mine, but it doesn't happen right away. What do? It might not be immediate. What do? Do we lose our focus? She did not lose her focus. No, I know in whom I have believed in. I know it. I know the word of God that has come to me. I'm not letting it go. Healing is mine. And don't lose your focus, even though you don't see it instantaneously. Because if you're focused on that and you know that it's the will of God, it's the will of God for healing. Mm-hmm. Does anybody have any you know, anything against that? Does God want us healed?
Absolutely.
He doesn't want us to glory in sickness because we're saying how strong God is within us. Mm-hmm. You know, that I've heard people say that Jesus paid that price. He paid that price. He took upon himself on the cross every loss that we could ever experience. Every sickness, every disease. 39 stripes with a cat of nine tails. He paid a great price for our healing.
Amen.
And he wants us to receive it. He just wants us to say, okay, Lord, I can't, but you are the one that has already done it. So my trust is in you. My focus is on you continually, completely. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there's people right now that need a miracle. So we got to look at our hearts and say, have I been in fear and doubt over here like this woman was and saying, am I being punished? Is it because I don't really understand everything? Or are we positioned for a miracle with this woman over here, this Shunammite woman who lives in a place of double blessing, and we are receiving because we know in whom we have believed in. Mm-hmm. Jesus is our source.
Amen.
Todd, I was going to say, does anybody have a testimony along these lines? Because I need some input from you.
Well, what was going through my mind was near the end when you were talking about that. Sometimes God's saying, don't give up, but patience has its perfect work. When it's not happening immediately, God's the one that invented patience.
Uh-huh.
Patience will have its perfect work if you let it.
If you let it. Patience just means you are steadfast. Mm-hmm. Because you see the end, but you're steadfast. God has given us hope. A hope, hope in the Word of God is expectation. It's an expectation of good, is what it is. That's what hope is. So we are not lost. A couple of verses that I just want to bring in because of this, because of the Shunammite woman. The Lord has given us in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews 4, 16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, just like she came boldly into the room that she prepared for him. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can come boldly to his throne. We don't have to beg. We come boldly because we know what this word says and what his will is concerning healing. We know it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 says that Jesus has been placed in a, has been seated in a heavenly place. Let me read it, because there's a couple of verses in Ephesians that we're going to look at. I don't want to misquote this. Ephesians chapter 1. Is anybody there? Verse 20, verse 6. Verse 22, Ephesians 1:22. There it is. And he has put all things under his feet. That's the wrong one, but that's a good one. That's a good one. It's verse 20, I'm sorry. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So Jesus is seated, which means he's at rest. He's ruler of the kingdom of God. Okay, and we have entered into the kingdom of God. Jesus even said the kingdom of God is within you. But if you look at chapter 2, verse 6, it says, and we have been raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So there is that upper room, that upper place, okay, where these prophets would live at, which is very significant of being at rest and sitting upon the throne of the heavenly places in Christ. Everything is a pattern. Everything is an example for us to learn by. He sent his word and healed them. He sent Elijah to this woman, did he not? He sent him. God sent him. Psalm 107:20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all of their destructions. We don't have to live a life of destruction and fear and doubt and loss because he sent his word. Who's the word?
Jesus
is the word. I want everybody to say this prayer with me, okay? And then we're going to, if you have any kind of a sickness that is right now taking place in your body, I want you to focus on it, okay? Whatever it is. And if there's too much, you got too many things, focus on one if you have to. Okay? But just say this prayer with me. Thank you, Lord, that you have come and dwelled within my heart.
You have brought
salvation
to me.
I am saved.
I am healed.
I am delivered.
So no sickness can remain in my body.
No disease can remain in my body.
No fear and doubt can remain in my mind.
You are my peace.
And you have made me whole.
I receive right now
healing,
strength,
wisdom.
The word of God.
Enlighten my mind
with the truth.
I receive it now,
and I call it done.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
You are the healed of the Lord.
You are the body of Christ, the children of God, and your Father loves you with a love that we can never even begin to understand, but we can receive it.
We receive it, and we just know that he's there. When Jesus was resurrected, he said, I go to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.
What Jesus has provided, just like Elijah took that child up and laid him in that place, he was resurrected and he brought him back down and presented him. That's exactly what Jesus has done for us. He took everything upon the cross. He took it up upon the cross, but through resurrection life, we are alive, and everything that we have is alive. Now we're walking in that double blessing. He says, you're going to do more than I did. Isn't that what Jesus said? You're going to do more works, greater works than I did because I'm going to my Father. But he's your Father.
Amen.
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 We're going to go ahead and close. If anybody needs any special prayer, I'm going to have Pat come up. And if anybody needs to, you know, just want someone to just agree with them, we're going to have some prayer time. But Holy Spirit, I trust in you that our hearts are fully persuaded and we are positioned for a miracle. We have positioned and situated ourselves in the place where you are at rest in our heart. We have invited you in and prepared a place for you, and you dwell there. And Lord, we are placing everything in that resting place in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You are dismissed.